The NTSB releases its interim factual report on the Dreamliner battery fire. Congress wants cost-saving answers from the FAA, and Bell offers early retirement thanks to sequester. This is Aero News for Friday, March 8, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. The National Transportation Safety Board has released an interim factual report and 499 pages of related documents in its ongoing investigation of the Japan Airlines 787 battery fire in Boston. Additionally, NTSB Chairman Deborah A.P. Hirschman announced on Thursday that the NTSB will be holding both a forum and a hearing in April to provide additional information to advance the investigation. The forum, which will be held in mid-April, will explore lithium-ion battery technology in transportation safety. The investigative hearing, to be held later in April, will focus on the design and certification of the 787 battery system. Both proceedings, which will be held at the NTSB Boardroom and Conference Center in Washington, will be webcast live and will be open to the public. The 48-page interim factual report summarizes the NTSB's initial findings on the JAL battery fire investigation. The report includes details on how the maintenance personnel discovered the fire and how the firefighters responded and extinguished it, findings from the examination of the battery and test results of related components, initial reports on the flight recorder data, a description of the 787 electrical power system certification plan, and a list of ongoing and planned investigative activities. The actual cause of that battery fire still remains a mystery. Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation Ranking Member John Thune, Republican of South Dakota, and House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure Chairman Bill Shuster, Republican of Pennsylvania, wrote Thursday to Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, questioning if the department and the FAA have explored all cost-saving options in order to comply with the sequester, before taking dramatic steps that will punish FAA employees and the traveling public. On Tuesday, FAA employees were notified of intended furloughs of up to 11 workdays beginning about April the 7th. The agency has also announced a significant number of closures of air traffic control towers within the cost-effective contract tower program. Whether the agency considered other cost-saving measures before making these announcements is unclear. The DOT and FAA continue to rebuff the lawmakers' request for specific information about how decisions are being made under the sequester. Congress has been requesting this information since August of last year, including this previous request from Shuster and Thune. In an effort to trim costs due to the sequester, Bell Helicopter said Wednesday that it would be offering early retirement packages to employees 55 and over. In a message to its employees, CEO John Garrison wrote, quote, "We are expecting a decrease in military programs in the coming years. Sequestration remains a threat to our business," end quote. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports that Bell offered a similar retirement package in 2012. This time around, the deal is being offered to non-union full-time employees with 2 years or more with the company. Garrison said in the memo that it is not clear what impact sequestration might have on the company, but that he is anticipating, quote, "a significant reduction in U.S. government spending," end quote. Another company with a major presence in North Texas, Lockheed Martin, began offering lump sum payments to employees with 25 years of seniority several weeks ago. According to the paper, the two companies combined account for 25,000 jobs in the North Texas region. GAMA, FAA, the Aircraft Electronics Association, and the Helicopter Association International called together aviation stakeholders to discuss the existing regulations governing rotorcraft design, Parts 27 and Part 29, at Heli Expo this week. On February 22, 2013, the FAA began requesting comments and information on the public's interest in restructuring the rotorcraft airworthiness standards of normal category as well as transport category rotorcraft. The FAA is soliciting public input and looking for recommendations for innovative approaches to ensure rotorcraft airworthiness standards are more efficient and adaptable to future technology. Also, this action taken by the FAA, in coordination with EASA, Transport Canada, and other international aviation regulators, is in an effort to develop recommendations for possible FAA international rulemaking action. The Gamma AEA HAI Rotorcraft Safety Discussion successfully brought together government and industry leaders to strategize on how the numerous detailed technical issues within Part 27 and Part 29 could be updated to address the current and future needs of the industry. The FAA is asking for comments to be filed by May 23rd. When Aero News continues, Cessna's TTX makes its first production flight. Not lost in space, but flown in space. And an iconic helicopter gets an update.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Friday, March the 8th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Cessna's new TTX completed its first production flight on Saturday, March 2nd. The single-engine composite aircraft departed from the Cessna facility in Independence, Kansas, and performed the flight in and around southeast Kansas. Brian Steele, business leader for the TTX, said, quote, "In the course of the flight, the pilot took the aircraft to 17,000 feet and achieved a speed of 213 knots. The TTX is a nimble, top-of-the-line airplane. It's the world's fastest fixed-gear, single-engine piston aircraft in production. Pilots who like to go fast and go in style are going to enjoy the TTX." End quote. Astronaut Scholarship Foundation's spring auction of astronaut experiences and memorabilia opened at 0900 Thursday morning and will run through 2000 Eastern Daylight Time, March 15th. The online charity auction features 7 astronaut-accompanied adventures, as well as 36 lots of rare, flown-in-space, and autographed collectibles. Some of the treasures up for grabs include a Greek flag that was journeyed to the moon with Command Module Pilot Al Worden on Apollo 15, a NASA-issued Fisher Space Pen, used aboard the Skylab space station by astronaut Bill Pogue, and a genuine radio cable from an apparatus worn by mission specialist George Pinky Nelson during his spacewalk. And for the astronaut who has just about everything, there are 7 ASF-exclusive astronaut experiences being offered, including a private Cayman Islands diving voyage with legendary Apollo 11 astronaut and the second man to set foot on the moon, Buzz Aldrin, a VIP day at NASCAR's Coke 0400 with Apollo 16 moonwalker Charlie Duke, and a Colorado mountain climbing expedition with space shuttle astronaut and Everest conqueror Scott Peresinski. There's even a classroom visit by Apollo 13 astronaut Fred Hayes that you can buy for your kids or grandkids. All 43 lots of space artifacts, astronaut memorabilia, and experiences, which together represent every era of manned spaceflight, are on the auction block until 10 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, March 15th. Just log on to www.astronautscholarship.org. And happy bidding! You know, there's been a lot of news coming out of the Heli Expo in Las Vegas this week, but none more exciting or fun than this. The Bell Model 47 will be returning to the market as a new turbine-powered helicopter with the Rolls-Royce RR300 engine. The announcement was made Tuesday by Scott's Bell 47 at Heli Expo in Las Vegas. The model will be named the 47GT-6. Don McGuire, SB47's Director of Customer Support and Services and a former Bell 47 mechanic and pilot himself, said that the 47GT-6 will be based on the 47G-3B-2A type design, modified by STC to incorporate the Rolls-Royce engine. The STC will also include a new modern instrument panel similar to that currently being developed by SB47 for use on the piston-driven fleet of Bell 47 helicopters still in service. Composite main rotor blades, LED exterior lighting, and new interiors, plus SB47 hopes to drive down operating cost to market leading numbers through the use of main drivetrain technologies. Mr. McGuire said they expect to start deliveries in 2016. Hundreds of Bell 47s manufactured some 40 or 50 years ago are reported to be still flying many hours per year, mainly in the agricultural and training markets, as well as for personal use. SB 47 said they expect customers of the new 47 GT6 to enjoy the same durability and longevity that those original helicopters exhibited, but with the advantage of modern equipment, improved performance, and reduced operating cost. You say you don't remember the Bell 47? Well, the military designated it the H-13 Sioux, and it was the iconic star of the opening credits to the long-running TV show MASH. Hawkeye would be proud. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.